Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be talking about a virtual field school that we have been developing over a period of time to bring the field into the classroom. Now, this is a tool that doesn't substitute for actual fieldwork. We have a list of authors here where we're from, but a picture works better. On the left, we have Maya, who's chairing this session. She's sort of the project manager. Then we have Stephanie, myself, and Scott, who are the ones answering the questions that the narrator, Art, is asking. And then we have Chris, who's the project manager, gives the directions to the director. And then Saeed on the far right there, who is the videographer. And Saeed has also been involved in putting these videos together. Just a quick outline. I'm just going to give an overall perspective. Introduction, we'll cover off the objective of this whole project, the concept, how we planned it, some shooting, and then just some screen captures of four web pages at the end. Now, the perspective, I thought, well, when I was putting this together, I'm going to Texas and it hasn't been glaciated, so I figured I better show something about glaciation in Canada and what we're talking about, but I think they're trying to create an ice age here with the air conditioning. I think everybody's pretty cold the last few days. So what we have here is we had two major ice sheets. The yellow area is the Laurentide ice sheet. It started in the Hudson Bay area and it went in all directions. And then the red area is the Cordilleran ice sheet, which covered most of British Columbia up into the southern Alaska Yukon area. But you'll notice that the Yukon, or then Alaska, has a lot of it wasn't glaciated. And again, down south into some of the northern states and the Great Lakes area. So what did this all look like? Well, about 25,000 years ago, if you flew over Canada in the Laurentide ice sheet, it would look similar to this, but there wouldn't be any mountains actually showing through. This photograph was taken over Greenland ice cap. In British Columbia, where we're talking about, we had a scene that would have looked like this 25,000 years ago, where we had all the mountain peaks showing through, down through the Rocky Mountains, down through the States. You would see this as well in valley glaciers, but not covering the whole area. Then, as the glaciers began to melt and recede, we got these big valley glaciers, and then this is a scene today in the Mount Robson area in the Canadian Rockies, which is the highest peak. So that's what happened. Now what we want to do is look at how these paramaterials became developed, formed, and moved. So paramaterials develop in place. So this is an organic deposit on the upper left, moved and transported by water, by ice, by wind, and by gravity. So what we're trying to teach is how these paramaterials formed, moved, and what they look like. And the students, they have a difficult time kind of grasping these concepts. You're talking about a relationship between a soil landscape, its paramaterial, and what it looks like and how it got there. So here's an example of a drumlinized till plane. That's this area right through here. You tell the student, that's a drumlinized till plane. Well, so what? We need to dig a big soil pit. To find a big soil pit here, we have to get to a road cut to look what this looks like in cross-section. Okay, that's kind of interesting. It's all mixed up material. But how did it get from? Well, it formed under a glacier. Well, what does that look like? So what we would do is go into the field and then shoot under the glacier so the students can see what the landscape looks like, what its material looks like, and actually where it formed. It's even more difficult for us as instructors because what I do is I bring in these samples. On the left, I have colluvial angular material, and they say, well, that's interesting, but they have no context of where it formed and how it developed. Then glacial fluvial, then glacial till, and on the far right, glacial lacustrine. So we're bringing these samples, but they still have no idea. Okay, so I'm going to show them some pictures. Well, I got a glacial till, and I got basal till, and an outwash plain. So the objective then of this project, funded by BC Campus, was to develop a virtual web-based teaching field school on soil landscapes and paramaterials. The concept is fairly simple. Take existing landscapes that we see in the province of British Columbia and their paramaterials and then show them how they developed at the receding glaciers that we have in the Canadian Rockies. So here's an example. This landform is called a kame. It's a hummocky pile of sands and gravels developed in a hole that developed in the ice. Well, what's that look like? So here we're on a glacier. This is material that's been picked up by the ice glacial till, and then it gets picked up by a meltwater stream, and it's carried along and tumbled, and it drops down through a hole in the ice. It's called a moulin. And at the base of the hole, we get this landform called a cane, right here. So that's how it develops. Okay, but now where does all that water go underneath the ice? It forms an ice tunnel and moves around, and it produces a snake-like ridge called an esker. So that's an esker that's starting in the lake and moving out onto the landscape. So we're trying to get the idea of the landscape that we see and how it developed. And we want to show them what these parent materials look like as they developed in the field. To plan this, for me, it wasn't too difficult. I've hiked all of these areas before. So what I did is the team had little concept of what this was about, so I produced an outline or a paper with screen captures off Google Earth of the areas I wanted to go to and what the plan was. So the people had never seen these kinds of landscapes on our team would have an appreciation for what we were doing. So we saw a picture just a moment ago. This is on the ground. There's the terminal moraine. There's a lateral moraine and a wash plain and esker. These are the terminologies that our videographer and our producer and director, they had to learn these. So they were learning as well when we were in the field. And as I said, I've hiked most of these areas. I've been going to these areas for years and years and years. So the planning actually wasn't that difficult. I had done a field school here for a number of years with another college down in Merritt, and it was funded by the Forest Service. It cost us $10,000 just to take 15 students on these field courses. So we've just heard about the cost of these. So this is an idea to bring this into the classroom to help the cost and more students can see it. More planning, again, Google Earth, Lake Louise Delta. There's a ground shot, and then here's us doing the videotaping and the narration of it. The shooting, this was a lot of fun. We got to go up on the Columbia ice fields. Most of the team had never stepped on a glacier before. And Saeed, the videographer, I believe is from Iran, and they don't have any glaciers there. So this was quite an experience to actually go up on the ice and film this. This is a big meltwater channel. Just to give you a sense of climate change, this glacier, they're measuring its retreat and the vertical depth of ice loss each year. It's lost, in this particular year, 4 meters vertical. So you're looking at about 12 feet of vertical melt in one summer. We would set up, we would shoot scenes, we would shoot the topography, we'd shoot all kinds of things. This is looking down the moulin. And then what we would do is, Art has been the key guy through all three projects we've done. This is our third one. He would say, okay, Ken, what are you going to tell me here? Or Scott, what are you going to tell me here? So I'd tell him what he was going to tell him. And he would formulate the questions. So it was all just sort of done on the go. And then we would shoot these particular scenes. And then they would go into the web page. It's unfortunate that we can't view these here because it would be a lot of fun. This is the opening web page. And what I want to point out here, there's more than just this project. There's our other three projects and all kinds of other projects that Maya has been working on that are available here and also linked back to the University of Saskatchewan and other places in Canada. So this is the opening page. There's the web address. It's kind of fun to go to. And then you get to this page, and we have a landscape evolution, soil formation, parent materials, soil landscapes. You can also click on this kind of parchment map, and you can go into the same tabs. So here's an example, soil formation. This is one of the opening video clips where Art is asking Scott to describe basically what we're going to be doing for this project and an overview of the five factors of soil formation. So down the left, and usually on every page, there's a text description of what's happening, and then you play these clips. They're usually around 3 to 5 minutes long. This one's about 9. Going into the parent material section, this one here is, you can drop it down, and then you get the glacial environment. Then you get all the different glacial environments off to the right. So you can choose any one of those, go through the text, watch the video clips, and get a sense of what's actually happening out there in the field. And you see the action as well. And that's the neat thing about this. You're actually seeing things happen. Rocks move, water move, and all of that kind of thing. And then what we do is we tie it back to the landscapes that we see today. So what we've done is actually looked at the time of geologic time from time zero, where these landscapes are forming, to what we see in our landscapes today. And we try and tie all this together, and I think it's been done quite well with these different video clips. We have shot a lot of footage. A lot of it isn't in there yet. It would be really nice to see a lot more. Now, I'm down here for a whole week. I'm going to on the tour on Thursday, Friday, because I want to see the geomorphology in the soils in Texas. They haven't been glaciated. They're quite different. So I had to give up 3 soil lectures in a lab. So what did I do? As I went through all of these websites and all the video clips, and I made up questions. So my class on Monday morning, when I get back a week from now, they are going to have to present me the answers to all the questions. So they will actually use this learning tool as part of the soil course in their learning process. Any questions?